Portion of God's word that we read this evening is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And now the text for the sermon, I'm not going to reread it because we end on it. Verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So far we read God's word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose of an applicatory sermon is to guide us as a congregation in our thankful walk of obedience as we take leave this evening from partaking of communion this morning. In order to guide us in that way as a congregation tonight, we turn to what is a familiar passage in the New Testament, found in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. We are guided tonight in our thankful walk of obedience under the figure of light. Jesus says to us this evening as a congregation, ye are the light of the world. And as those who are the light of the world, it is our calling to shine as lights and to shine as lights, in order that in the end, the ultimate goal of all things might be accomplished, and that is the glory of our God. As I read and meditate upon this passage, I see three main ideas that come to the surface. The first is that the text identifies who we are. Ye are the light of the world. The second is that from that comes a calling, let your light shine. And the third is that there is a purpose in our shining as lights in the world, and that is that other men may see and glorify our God in heaven. So tonight we take as our theme of the sermon, shining as lights in the world. And we use those three main ideas as the three points: our calling, or rather our identity in the first place, our calling in the second place, and then our purpose in the third place. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, we have recorded for us what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. That's not a bad title for this sermon. It's just not the best title for the sermon. That title indicates where Jesus preached this sermon, on the Mount. A better title of the sermon would be the Sermon on the Kingdom. That identifies not just where Jesus preached it, but it identifies what is the main content of this sermon in Matthew 5 through 7. The main idea that ties together all of the content of Matthew 5 verse 7 is the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus does in the opening verses of this sermon is explain the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's the well-known Beatitudes. Jesus is describing the characteristics of those who belong to God's kingdom of heaven. And then after those Beatitudes, he gives two more identifications of who the citizens of God's kingdom are. Right before our text, he identifies them as the salt of the earth. And then he concludes the first main section of the sermon on the kingdom of heaven by saying to the church of Jesus Christ, "Ye are the light of the world." And that brings us into the main idea of the first point of the sermon. And that is, with that opening statement in verse 14 of Matthew 5, Jesus gives us our identity. He is telling us tonight, as a congregation of believers, this is who you are. And it's even more powerful in the original Greek. Ye yourselves, he says, calling attention to it, are the light of the world. It's very important that we know who we are, not as we judge, because often we can wrongly identify ourselves, but as Christ identifies us. That identity shapes the way that we think, shapes what we believe, and ultimately shapes how we will go forth in our lives here on this earth. This is who we are, our identity. In this text, Jesus says it is this: ye are the light of the world. It's an amazing statement. Of the world, we'll come back to that. You, true Church of Jesus Christ, Granville Protestant Reformed Church, you, believer in this true Church of Jesus Christ, you, Jesus says, are the light of the world. That is an astounding statement concerning who we are. And that identity, not an identity we impose upon ourselves, but what Jesus says concerning us, shapes the way we think, shapes what we believe, shapes how we walk in this week to come. The figure in the text is that of light. And I'm not going to say it is the most used figure in the entire Bible, but it's right there near the top. The figure of light runs from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture. And it has a broad range of meanings and applications and implications for the church and for the believer. And we focus on this text in particular, but I want to say very generally at the beginning of the sermon that when we think about light, It is always that which is identified with God. That which is of God is light, His kingdom, the truth, holiness, life. And the antithesis, darkness, is everything that is opposed to God, Satan, the kingdom of darkness, the lie, sin, and ultimately death. And those two, light and darkness, could not stand in more stark contrast to each other than anything else. And that's the way God created this world. In the beginning, on the first day, He said, "Let there be light." The very first thing God created, and God created this world so that constantly before our eyes, we would have this stark contrast, the antithesis between light and darkness, and with that, seeing it through the lens of Scripture, see everything that is of God as light, and everything that is opposed to God as darkness. Every day, we have staring in our face this figure. And let the sermon tonight influence the way that we think as we go forth in this week. Parents, as you're driving your children to school and the sun comes up out of the darkness, there's the reminder from the day. This is who we are. This is what we're called to be like. This is how we think in our lives here on this earth. Every day we have right in front of us the fundamental figure of who God is and that which is of God and that which is opposed to God. But now more specific to the text. Jesus identifies us as the light of the world. And the question that we need to explain briefly is, how is it possible that tonight, as the mouthpiece of Christ, I can declare to you, this is who you are, the light of the world? To answer that question, it's a very simple three-step chain or process. God, Christ, us. Starts over here with God. 1 John 1 verse 5 says that God is light and in Him is no darkness. The triune God of heaven and earth is light, pure, unadulterated, perfect light. He's the God of holiness. He's the God of truth. He is the God in whom is all life. That God who is light sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth so that the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as He walked the face of this earth in John 8, would proclaim in His earthly ministry, "I am the light of the world." The God of light sent Jesus Christ, the light of the world, so that we, who are by nature in darkness and in death, might be delivered out of that darkness and death and brought into the kingdom of light with the very life of Jesus Christ Himself. The source of light is God in Christ. And the only way for you, for me, for any other man or woman or child on this earth to be identified as light is to be united to the source, who is God in Jesus Christ. For God to declare to us that we are the light of the world is for God to declare, "This is my work for you and in you. I send Christ as the basis of delivering you out of darkness, and I sent my Spirit into your heart, uniting you thereby to the source, Jesus Christ, so that Christ's life and light is in you. And therefore, with that light and life in you, now this can be said of you. You are the light of the world. Think about it this way, children. To understand why you are called tonight the light of the world, and you shine tonight with Jesus Christ who is in you. Think about a light bulb. How does a light bulb give off light? For this light bulb to give off light, it needs to be connected to power. I can't take a light bulb and try to turn it into this wood and expect that this wood is going to be able to give light to the light bulb. There's no power in the wood. The light bulb needs to be attached to the power. And if it's attached to the power, then it will give forth light. For you and for me to be light, we have to be united to the power and the source. And that's what God has done to you. He's taken you and implanted you into Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who is the brightness of the Father in heaven. We are the light of the world because as a church, we are united to our head, Jesus Christ. And as individual believers, we are united in the bond of faith. It's not just the fact that we are light. Jesus says in the text, "Ye are the light of the world." And that too is absolutely astounding. And the implication of that is that the world is darkness. And that's how we characterize the world in which we live right now. From the fall of Adam, which plunged the entire human race into death and darkness, all we have around us in this world is that death and darkness. Death reigns in this world. The lie abounds in this world. Lawlessness is king in this world. We're surrounded by utter depravity and darkness. And in the midst of all of the darkness of this world, Jesus says there is light. There's only one source of light in all of the dark world, and that is the church and believers. Imagine turning all the lights off in the sanctuary tonight. Pitch dark. That's the world. After the fall, on account of the guilt of sin and the depravity of man and the death that reigns thereafter, it's all dark in here. But then people pull out a flashlight or their phones and turn the flashlight on, and all of a sudden throughout the sanctuary there's light over there and a cluster of light over there and a cluster of light here, and it gives light to the sanctuary. And God says tonight that the church spiritually is the light in the midst of the dark world in which we live. All around the world, spiritually, gathered in clusters, are believers and true churches of Jesus Christ, and they are the light of the world. Now from that main statement, ye are the light of the world, there are two implications that I believe are both taught in these verses in Matthew chapter 5. There's two prongs that come down from that main statement, this is who you are, the light of the world. One prong that comes down, you can write on it, must, M-U-S-T. We'll come to that in a little bit. The other prong that you can write on out of that main statement is will, W-I-L-L. Must, and will. If this is true, you are the light of the world. Must flows out of that. And the must is what we will get to. You must shine as lights in the world. We'll come to that later. But there's something more basic. And that's the other prong. That if this is true, that you are the light of the world, that's your identity, you will shine as lights in this world. And I want to say something about that first, because it most closely flows out of the identity of who we are by the work of God in making us the light of the world. We will shine in our life here on this earth. And I believe that that arises out of the two further illustrations that Jesus gives in the text. The first is in verse 15, or rather 14 at the end. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In Jesus' day, most of the cities were up on hills for strategic purposes. And the point of what Jesus says here is that if you are in the vicinity of that hill, that city that is on that hill, it is impossible for the one who is in the vicinity of that city not to see that city with its walls and with its towers and with its buildings. As it's set on that hill, if you are near that hill, you will see that city. It's like going downtown Chicago at night. As you're driving into downtown with all of the skyscrapers and all of the lights on those buildings, you can't not but see the big downtown Chicago that it is. And that's the way it is for the church and for the believer. Just like that city on a hill, if someone is in the vicinity of that city, they will see it. So also, if one is in the vicinity of the church and in the vicinity of believers, they will. It's impossible that they don't see the fact that one is shining as lights. Because that's the purpose of being lights. And that's the second illustration that Jesus gives in verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The teaching of Jesus here is very simple, but it's profound. If you light a candle, the very purpose of that candle is to give off light. You don't light a candle and then immediately find a bucket and put that bucket over the candle. It defeats the very purpose of the candle. The candle has as its identity, its purpose, to give off light. And likewise for the church and for the individual believer. This is who we are. This is what God has done to us and for us. He's taken us out of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's filled us with His Holy Spirit, with the very life of Jesus Christ. And the very purpose of that is not so that we then cover it or that someone else covers it. It would go against the very purpose of what it is for. It is to give off light. The point is this. This is who we are. And if this is who we are, this will be true. We will shine in this world of darkness. And I believe, beloved, we need to take encouragement from that. We need to be encouraged by the fact that this is who Jesus says we are. And if this is who we are, this necessarily is true. That was our testimony this morning. We believe in Jesus Christ. communion, not just with each other, communion with God. We're united to the source, and as united to the source, we radiate with the life of Jesus Christ. And we should be encouraged by the fact that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and if we are a true church of Jesus Christ, we are giving off light. Just our presence here, as the lights are on at 6:30 on a Sunday night, we're shining as a church of Jesus Christ, and you're shining by your presence here before others and before the world on a Sunday night at 6:30. Let's be encouraged by the declaration of Jesus, this is who we are, and therefore we are shining as lights in this world. But it's likely the case that we sit here tonight and we hear what's been preached thus far, and we may say in response to what's been preached so far, but I don't shine. Or I don't shine as I know I should shine. And there's still so much of me that is darkness. And there's so many things that I do which are equivalent to taking that bucket and putting it over the candlestick. And to that we say, yes, that's true as well. And that's why the statement, ye are the lights of the world, has the one prong of will shine, but we also need to hear the other prong, which is you must shine. And the must shine arises out of the fact that we still have a sinful nature. That is darkness. And that does militate against our shining as the lights on this world. But remember, and this is so important, it's not who you are. The opening statement of the text is not, ye are the darkness of the world, now shine. That's not our identity. We don't identify ourselves tonight as darkness. We identify ourselves in harmony with the way Jesus identifies ourselves as light. Christ is our life. That's who we are. But yet, though it's not who we are, on this side of the grave, that old man still clings to us. And there's still a devil in a world that is always militating against us and seeking to hurt us. So that we do have to do battle. We have to hear this word that you must go forth as light in this world. I haven't explained it yet in the sermon, partly because I think we all understand what it means to shine as lights in the world. So I didn't need to lead with that right at the beginning of the sermon. But now I think is an appropriate time in the sermon, as we hear the must, to explain what it means to shine as lights in this world. The must comes from verse 16. It's an imperative. Let your light so shine before men. That's the calling. But then we read right after that, that they may see your good works. And that second phrase in verse 16 is the explanation of what it means to shine as lights. To see good works. To shine as lights, in other words, is to walk in good works. It is to live your life out of the power of faith, and out of the power of faith to go forth in obedience to God's law and all of God's word, and to do that aimed at the ultimate purpose of the glory of God. As you wake up tomorrow, looking to Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, and out of that saying, I am going to strive to obey God's law, and I'm going to do that because I love God and want to glorify Him. That's what it means to go forth shining as lights. Now, the question that much commentary is found on is the nature of the good works. When Jesus says in the text, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, there's much commentary on what particular good works does Jesus have in mind when he says that. And there are varying opinions as to what the answer to that question is. Is it the works according to the first table of the law, commandments 1 through 4 toward God? Is it works according to the second table of the law, 5 through 10 with our neighbor? Is it the works of those who are leaders in the church in proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and some other things beside? It's my understanding that the good works is broad in nature. Broad in nature, but particular in one respect. The type of good works that Jesus has in mind in this text are the works that we do before other men. Not our private life, in which we only stand before God, but our public life, as we live before others in this world. And that's clear from every element in the text. The opening statement, not just you are lights, but you are lights of the world. So right there, that's what's in mind here. And then verse 14, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. The idea of which, as I explained, is that others in the vicinity of that hill will see the city that's on the hill. Candlestick. You don't hide it, but it gives light to those who are in the room. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The particular good works that Jesus has in mind in the text are the things and the life that we live before others in this world. But within that particular scope, I believe the application that Jesus has here is broad in view. If I were preaching a series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, I would pick carefully what I would go into here, because one of the ways to look at the Sermon on the Mount, very simply, is to say that everything that comes thereafter is the shining as lights in this world. All of the specifics that he brings up, and we know them all, the warnings against anger and against adultery and giving and praying and judging and all of the rest. You could preach all of those sermons in light of this text, and that is, this is our shining as lights before men in this world. But I'm not preaching a series of sermons on this passage. And so what I want to do tonight is pull out four particular applications to shining as lights before men in this world. In the first place that I want to begin, interestingly, is something that we do in private. But because of the nature of the world in which we live, this thing that we do in private, in reality, is public before the eyes of men to see. And this is required in our day and age to make this particular application of what our lives look like before men in this world. And you've probably gathered what I'm talking about here, and this is the life that we live as it comes through in our social media accounts and in all of the things that we do on the internet. That's the nature of the world we live in. That when we have a social media account with all sorts of information on that about us, with all sorts of pictures that we may post, with all sorts of profiles of who we are and what we like, that is our life as it is lived before men. Others see that. And they are seeing one of two things. They are seeing shining as lights in this dark world of sin, or they are seeing a lot of darkness in the midst of some light as it comes through in our social media accounts. Beloved, this is so important. And we need to take this to heart tonight. You young people need to take this to heart tonight. You need to think about your social media accounts and the pictures that you post and the comments that you make, which others see. You may lose sight of it when you're on your phone by yourself and you hit upload or whatever it is. You may not be thinking of that, but others see, and you don't even know how many others may see, but the world may see what you posted, what you wrote, and the picture that you just uploaded. And we need to make sure that from Granville Protestant Reformed Church, young and old alike, if others see our social media accounts, they see light and only light. It is a problem. It's a serious problem. When the profile page says, "My favorite movies are these, and my favorite entertainers and musicians are these, and my favorite Hollywood stars that I like to follow are these," with a few Bible verses sprinkled in other places, what is it? That's all darkness. That's light, but that's darkness. That's one foot there, and that's one foot there, and you cannot serve God and mammon. Beloved, be very conscious of this. Young people, be very conscious of this, that the pictures that you post, the settings of those pictures, the clothing that you are wearing, the comments that you make on your own or on others, is not portraying materialistic, outward-minded, It's all about what you look like. That's not the nature of what we are posting and what we are saying. But that it shows this, light as believers in this world. It's one of our most powerful witnesses as we live before men. That in the first place tonight. In the second place, by way of application, I want to address you men of the congregation, especially as those who go to work every day. Before men is the text. And where that especially comes to view is the men of the church who are called to work every single day in this world. And I know there are other who work full-time, those who aren't married, but I address especially fathers, but really the point is for all who go forth in this world and work. Your calling, per the text, is to let your light shine. And understand that we need to think more deeply than just, "I don't swear when I go to work," or "I don't work on Sunday, though other people in the company work on Sunday." All well and good, all absolutely necessary. We need to think more deeply from the point of view that if you are united to Jesus Christ with the light of Christ shining in you, the nature of light is it goes everywhere. And the idea is that it permeates who we are. It's not just what we do or don't do, but it's who we are. It's our identity in this world. So that it's not just the fact that swear words don't come out of your mouth or that you don't go to work on Sunday, but it's your purpose in working. It's your character in your working. It's your attitudes in your working that permeate everything you do and show to the world around you, I am different because I am filled with the light of Jesus Christ. Your purpose needs to be clear to people. In a world of cutthroat business, when it's the bottom line that matters most, people around you need to know what matters most to me is not that bottom line. And I am not willing to leave a carnage of destruction in terms of people and relationships in order to get that bottom line as high as it possibly can be. Because what matters more to me is being a believer and living my life as a Christian. And so it's not about that bottom line. It's about walking as a child of God in love for my neighbor, with care and compassion for my employees, showing by my words and by my actions that I care about those around me. And I am not going to leave a carnage of destruction in my wake just to get a higher number on the bottom line. But I'm going to love those around me. I'm going to care for them in a true, godly, biblical way. And I'm going to live my life in selflessness and humility with those with whom I work. It's making clear in the way in which you work that when times don't go well, there's a certain quietness and trust and contentment because your identity is not the success or failure of the business for which you work. Your identity is, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I am the light of the world. It's making clear if you're in a position of leadership that when things don't go your way or when those under you don't do what they are supposed to do in the best way possible, that the talk behind your back isn't, boy, I don't want to cross him today because I know the anger and the wrath that's going to come from him. I'm not saying there's not authority exercised, not saying that you don't do your job well, but your character, your attitude, your purpose, and how you respond when things don't go your way must be godly and Christ-like. Think deeply about it, those who are in the world, not just about outward actions, but about who you are and how light permeates, not just some things, but light permeates the purpose, the motive, the character, and the attitudes with which we live in this world. Number three, the opportunities that we have before men to let our light shine especially come through in times of suffering and in times of difficulty. Certainly one of the characteristics of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is that we will be persecuted. We will be reviled. And later in the sermon, Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless them that seek to persecute you and hurt you. In our times of persecution, that's the opportunity before men to let your light shine. And that's true also, especially in our times of suffering. Maybe it's you as an elderly saint who time and time and time again, because of the recurring health complication, have to go to the doctor and see those nurses. Not just once, but you go there once, you go home, and you got to go back again, and you go home, and you got to go back again, and they all know you on a first name basis because of the chronic difficulty that you have to go through. That's the opportunity as elderly to let your light shine so that it's not a going into the office time and time again in a spirit of anger and bitterness, but you go in time and time again not saying, I'm glad I have this, but saying, I'm okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because I know that though this body is breaking down, in the end, my home is not here on this earth, and one day it'll break down entirely, and I'll be in my new home in heaven, and I'll one day have a resurrected body which will never break down like this current body. And that spirit and that attitude and that peace and that contentment over against the anger and bitterness that can rise up within us prevails, so that those nurses and those doctors see the name on the schedule that day and they say, that's going to be an okay visit. Because that man or that woman, they approach this completely different than many other people who come in anger and bitterness. There's something different about them. They live in hope, the hope of life everlasting. That's letting, as an elderly saint, your light shine before men. And last, number four, we let our light shine by the words that we speak. A good work, that which arises out of faith, that which is according to God's word, an aim to the glory of God, is the words that come forth from our mouths. City set on the hill, possibly a reference to the church, Jerusalem on the hill, the church of the New Testament, the church sounding forth her witness is the city set on the hill, that others hear and others see. In our everyday life, we let our light shine by letting the words of the gospel come forth from our lips so that others see and others hear who we are. And it's not just that we're always striving to win theological debates. It's not just that we come across with an air of pomposity in the way that we speak about having the truth over against those who may not have the truth. It's about from our hearts bubbling forth, emanating forth. This is the gospel that I love. This is the Christ whom I serve. This is the truth that I confess because it gives all the glory to God, the God of my salvation in Jesus Christ. That's in our everyday witness. That's in our witness as a church, letting our life shine. The purpose of this is expressed at the end of the text when it says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose of our letting our light shine is so that others in this world might see our good works. Now understand clearly that this is not saying that so others look at me. Jesus will warn against that later in the sermon. Don't pray to be seen by men. Don't give to be seen by men. It ceases to be a good work at that point. If that's the case, it's not done out of a true faith according to God's law to the glory of God's name. It's done out of sinful pride against God's word and to the glory of self. The idea is not, I do these things, I live this way in order to be seen by men and thereby to be glorified by men. The purpose is the glory of God. And the glory of God is accomplished when others see me, which is another way of saying when others see Christ. Whose light is it? It's not ours. It's Christ's light. And that's the purpose of going forth in this week as lights in this world. The purpose is so that others in your life might see the Lord Jesus Christ. When you post on social media, and when you set your profile page up on any of the accounts, let it be evident that I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to work this week, and you have a character and an attitude and a purpose that is shaped entirely by, I am a disciple of Jesus. The end is so that others don't see you, but they see the Christ who lives within you. When you, as an elderly saint, go to that doctor and those nurses time and time again with a spirit of peace and contentment, it is to direct their gaze to you so that from you they can see you have a home in heaven that is to come and a Savior in heaven to whom you are going. And when you speak, and when this church speaks, it's not to call attention to the mouthpiece or the instrument, but the one who lives within us and the God who saves us. The purpose is not to call attention to ourselves. The purpose is to direct men by our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that they, then, if it God wills, would glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the whole point. We do this before men. And it may be the case that God has a purpose in our life of holiness before men. And that purpose may be that they see it, that they ask a reason of the hope that is within us, that they are led by the work of God in them to have their eyes opened to the one who dwells within us and are led thereby to receive him with a true and living faith, to the end that they then may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Many remain blind to it, many reject it. But our lives have to be living testimonies to the Christ who lives within us in such a way that others see and God may be pleased to use our light as it shines to lead others to the one who shines, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they in turn are led to accomplish what is the greatest purpose and goal of all things, the glorifying of our Father in heaven. Beloved, this is who you are. Know who you are. By the work of God, you are lights. Be encouraged that you will shine. Hear the command that you must shine. And go forth aimed at that highest end of the glory of the God of our salvation in Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy work to fill us with thy Spirit and to unite us to Jesus Christ so that we are lights in this world. And may it be the case that we go forth shining out of thankfulness to the glory of thy name. Hear our prayer, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.